All right, we're going to stand to our feet if you're in agreement. And we're going to sing a song. Okay, no, we're not going to sing a song. It's hard to sing that song when I'm getting ready to do scripture. So if you see the scripture come up, Psalm 28, on the screen above me, if there you go. All right, this is a great word. Are we getting cut out here? Okay. Great word here. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. If you're ready to do that, turn to people around you and say, hey, let's praise him together. Let's do it.
Stop. good to see you. I'm glad that you're here. I'm encouraged just by your presence. Amen. Would you smile at somebody nearby you? Just grin real big. And then let's pray. God, it is good to be in your house with your people. It is encouraging to hear your word proclaimed. And we are thrilled at the opportunity you've given us to worship. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to choose this day to see the world in which you have placed us and the way in which you desire us to see it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see that there is only one salvation. We believe, we believe
in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. Coming back again.
So let our faith be more than anthems, much greater than the songs we sing. In our weakness and temptation, we believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. So let the lost be found and the dead be raised in the here and now. Let love remain, let the church live loud. Our God and Savior, we believe, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know Your love will never fail. We believe, we believe,
we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ.
Duct tape can't fix.
Bill!
I don't know what came over me.
Just go with it, Buzz.
Hay un amigo en mí. Hay un amigo en mí. Cuando salgan a volar. Cuando salgan a volar, hay un amigo en mí, sí, un amigo en mí, hay un amigo en mí.
This past Wednesday night, some of you went with us to see Toy Story 4, and we packed out that theater to Loma and had a great time together. And it ties into what we've been talking about in this summer series that we've been in, talking about A Friend Like Me, where the emphasis has been on learning to encourage and learning to be the friend that you were created to be, and why that is more biblical than you realize. And so along the way, we've taken a look at what the Bible has to say about the way that we encourage others, and how when we do that, God encourages us so that we are then free to encourage others, and an incredible process begins. And so today, we're going to wrap that series up by taking one more look into God's Word and discovering that when we do what we were created to do, it creates a whole new world, a world that has been touched and changed by the love of Christ, and how that each of us are a part of that. And so if you would, bow your heads and hearts, and let's pray as we continue our celebration this morning. God, we are thankful that you give us a chance to be a part of your big plan and to be a part of the way that you've chosen to share your love and shine your light into the world around us. And so, Lord, this day we come and we realize that we have not been perfect over the past few days. We realize that we've made mistakes, we've stumbled. And we realize that there have been moments that we just haven't done all that we were created to do. But yet, at the same time, there have been other moments where you have used us in ways that we never thought were possible. That you have used us in spite of ourselves. And because of who you are, and because of your grace and your love, you allowed us to become the best version of ourselves and shine your light into a world that needs to see it. And so this morning, as we continue our celebration, my prayer and hope for each one of us is that we would open our hearts and have a desire to catch a glimpse of you this day so that we might be the people that we were created to be, so that we might be an encouragement to others as you've encouraged us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You were the word.
all God's people said, amen.
You guys sound great. We're going to Romans chapter 12 this morning as we wrap up this series. On this holiday weekend, we wrap up our Friend Like Me series with a look at what it means to create a whole new world. And so we are going to jump in and take a look at those verses here in just a second. Our week, this holiday week, started for us as a church in a wild way last Sunday afternoon. Some of you were with us. We went on our first ever road rally. It was one of those ideas that you have in staff meeting. You think, you know, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't work. We talked about it, we planned it, and we had no idea what was going to happen. And we really figured, I mean, it's not that we lowbar this thing at all, but our expectations were pretty low. We figured, you know, summer, beginning of 4th of July week, you know, we'll have, you know, 5-6 teams show up. We'll go do our thing. We'll eat ice cream. Well, 16 teams showed up to go participate. We completely overtook Kelly's Ice Cream Shop over in Orlando when we were done. And along the way, some of you, and again, I appreciate the feedback on it, some of you found out things of Central Florida that you never knew about. Hidden gems. For example, the Disney ironic topiary pigs in Winter Park. Who knew that Winter Park had a law that said you couldn't have live swine within its city limits? And Disney gave them topiary pigs and put them at the farmer's market as a result of that. Some of you didn't know that there were rock stars right there at Rollins College, but you went on the Rollins Rock Hall of Fame. Some of you had your picture made with Benjamin Franklin sitting there, and yes, they need to clean the statue up, but that's a whole different story. And you walked around that rock walk and saw things that you never knew were there, things you never knew you never knew. And then you saw the gassy dog, the molecular gassy dog, in the history of Winter Park, as only Richard Israel could tell it, as you saw a molecular dog formed into a propane molecule and what that meant. And so all of those things hidden in plain sight, you could see them any day, but we saw them together. And that was fun. And then we came back Wednesday evening, and we got to spend some time together eating dinner and having fun and laughing out loud at a movie that's very, very funny, but also a movie that emphasized the power of friendship and relationship and encouragement and how important that is in our lives. And so all of that, getting ready to move and celebrate the 4th. Now, show of hands, be honest, how many of you shot off fireworks on the 4th of July?
I did for the first time.
Congratulations, and you're here.
Yep.
I see those hands. I see some veterans in the room. That's good. How many went to see fireworks on the 4th? Okay, more hands. All right, good. For those of you that shot fireworks, I commend you, and you have survived it, and congratulations, you're here. I, too, did the same. I actually shot fireworks on the 4th and 5th because, well, you just can't get enough. However, wisdom, and many of you know these stories, and I'm not going to relive these moments because they're painful for me to remember, and those days are dark, dark days, and you will remember the story of the cataclysmic event that about killed many of us here at the church with a fireworks display that went horribly awry. It was our last fireworks display. But I am wiser now. Years do put wisdom on you. And as I was firing mortars, I am now wise enough to know that when the side blows out of the mortar tube, it's time to quit. And so when the mortar tube goes wonky and falls to the side and is no longer structurally has integrity anymore, it's not a good idea to put another one in just to try it one more time. And so I am here today, and I still have all of my digits, all of my limbs, and I'm happy to be with you this morning once again on this 4th of July weekend. Now, if you have your Bibles open, we're going to jump in and continue this idea that we've been thinking about and adding all these things together of how we encourage one another. And we talked about the fact that God calls us to encourage, and we looked at the biblical basis for that. And it dawned on us that maybe we don't always think of it that way. But as we comfort one another, as we encourage one another, the word that God uses in that passage reminds us that we are to be coming alongside of one another and pouring our lives into each other to spark one on toward better things, to point them toward God. And so when we do that because God has done that for us. And so we looked at that, and we sent you out with this challenge to find out who you needed to encourage this week and go out of your way to be a person who builds up the life of others and to be hesitant to step in and say that cutting word or tear down and to learn to build and pour your life into others in such a way that will make the life better. And we talked about not only the biblical basis for that, but we talked about learning to see friends and learning to see the relationships that we have as gifts from God, and how we can be a better friend, and how we can increase those relationships and make sure that we understand that friendships and relationships that God gives us are very precious gifts, And as we pour our lives into others, God will bless us, and he blesses us with the gift of one another and how important and valuable that is. And then last week, we talked about the right stuff. And even this week, some of you have shared with me already how you have gone out of your way to make sure that you said the right thing in the right way, and you put it in writing. And of course, in today's world, we can text, and we can post, and we can send snail mail, and we can do a variety of ways that we can actually write and reach out and touch someone else and encourage them. And we talked about how those letters become timeless and how they become something that people hold on to. And we talked about all of the things that go into that moment. And so today we wrap up the series by looking at a long passage of Scripture, but I think the passage will set the context for what we want to say. And so if you have your Bibles open, look at verse 3 and follow along with me. I want to read verses 3 through 18, but we're going to focus in on verses 9 through the end of the chapter when we break it down. It says this: as God's messenger, I give each of you God's warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete, for we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then prophesy whenever you can, as often as your faith is strong enough to receive a message from God. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If you're a preacher, see to it that your sermons are strong and helpful. If God has given you money, be generous in helping others with it. If God has given you administrative ability and put you in charge of the work of others, take the responsibility seriously. Those who offer comfort to the sorrowing should also do so with Christian cheer. Don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Love each other with brotherly affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Be glad for all God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and prayerful always. When God's children are in need, you be the one to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for the night. If someone mistreats you because you're a Christian, don't curse him. Pray that God will bless him. When others are happy, be happy with them. If they are sad, share their sorrow. Work happily together. Don't try to act big. Don't try to get into good graces of important people. But enjoy the company of ordinary folks and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil for evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honest clear through. Don't quarrel with anyone. Be at peace with everyone just as much as possible. Now, in those verses, in verses 3 through 8, Paul is outlining God's blueprint for the church and reminding us, if you needed to be reminded, that you have a role and you have a place. And there's something that God has that you have been creatively designed by the creator of the universe to do. And I want you to hear me this morning and know that with all of my heart, I believe that each one of you in this room has the ability to touch and change the world that you live in. Not because you and I are great on our own, but because the one who lives within us, who has saved us, who has set us apart, has created us and gifted us to impact the world. And so if you ever have those moments where you think, what I do doesn't matter, it does. If you ever think what you do doesn't make a difference, it does. If you ever get caught up in those moments of thinking that the task is too big and everything is just out of control and one person can't make an impact, I want you to know you can. And you can because God who loves you and who has saved you is great. And because you are his child, you can change the world. I am convinced, just as sure as I'm sitting here, I probably have known this for the bulk of my adult life as I've been in ministry. And one of my frustrations and one of my joys is, frustration part is watching people who just think that their lives don't matter and living for Jesus doesn't matter and doesn't make a difference. That just frustrates me. What brings me joy are those moments when people really get it and begin to understand that their lives do matter and they can impact and change the world. This week we have students that are going to go to camp and they're going to discover that they do have all access to God and that God can take their lives and it will be the starting point of a building point, of building in their lives, something that will go on forever and ever. And so I'm already praying for our students that God would just use them and touch their lives in a very special, powerful way and help them understand that they can change the world. And even in one of our Sunrise Bible Study courses this morning, one of the things that we looked at is the fact that it was Jesus, when he took his disciples from Galilee to Jerusalem and he went through Samaria, they moved outside of what was the normal area where they did ministry in. And I shared with that class that one of the things that reminds us of in a very powerful way is that when we take our love for Christ, when we take our relationship with Christ, when we take our walk with Christ outside the walls, we find ourselves in situations where everyone's not going to be real helpful. Everyone doesn't want to receive it. Everyone doesn't always get it. But yet that's where real faith meets the road. And that's where the impact of your faith really does count. And so when you take your faith outside the walls and the church leaves the building, if you will, that's the moment that we begin to discover the amazing things that God is doing in our life. And I want you to know, if you're sitting here this morning and you can hear my voice, you can change the world. And that has a lot less to do with you, but more to do with God than you think it does. But you can change the world. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there's no excuse for you not to change the world, because that's what you're here to do. And so whose world are you changing? Whose life are you changing? How are you making a difference? See, sometimes we get so caught up in living in the here and the now and making our lives all about us that we forget that the reason that you exist is because God's placed you to impact the lives of others. And it's not really about you, it's about Him. And when it's about Him, then all of a sudden you begin to realize that what you do, where you go, and the places you go, and the people you meet are all people that need to be touched and changed with the love of Christ. They need to be encouraged. They need to be loved. And you can bless them. And so in verses 3 through 8, Paul reminds us that each of us have a part of that. And the places that you go outside these walls are going to be different than the places that I go outside these walls, because who we are and how we're wired and the connections we have are going to be different. But we're launched into the world and we make this incredible network of people who are going out and reaching out into the world around us with the love of Christ. And then we come back here and we celebrate and we connect our lives together and we celebrate life together and we go back out and we do it all over again. But then when you look at the passage, though, what happens is we get to verse 9. And in verse 9, Paul then begins to outline what I think are the lifestyle characteristics of godly encouragers. In other words, people who are taking seriously this call of Christ in their life to encourage others, and Paul begins to outline what that looks like. And when people do that, it creates a whole new world around you. You begin to change the world that you find yourself in. You begin changing those places that you're in each and every day. Do they change overnight? No. Do they change quickly? Never. But they change over time. And you begin changing lives one at a time. And God begins to use you in ways that you never thought possible. Encouragement goes a long way. And it's little things, right? I mean, it's not always in the big things, it's in the little things. And I was trying to think, how do you illustrate that? Some of you in this room, you like to fly. Some of you guys are pilots. I mean, let me make this a very short, easy version of how an airplane wing works. But really what happens is air goes across the wing. And when it goes across the wing, it then goes down, forces the plane up. That's where we get lift from, right? A little goes a long way. I'll use my bookmark to show this to you. If I take this and go, just a little puff, and there's lift, right? Simple. That's what happens when you encourage. Just a little bit brings a lift to someone's life. Not complicated. We want to make it complicated. We want to create these moments to encourage. We want to set up these parameters of how we're going to encourage. It's not. It's simpler than that. It's just that simple word. It's that simple deed. It's that simple thing that you do where you on purpose are trying to lift the life of others instead of being content to let them sag. A little goes a long way. And when that breeze of encouragement blows across the life of someone else, it gives them a lift that they might not have had before. Each one of you can do that. See, I know it's real easy sometimes in the middle of summer when we're busy with the summer activities and we're busy with the summer routine and the grind changes a little bit and it's hot and it's humid. And of all things, we have a series in worship on friends and encouragement. Can't we talk about something meatier than that? More spiritual than that? That's pretty spiritual stuff, actually. Because the call of Christ is a call to relate. And when we relate to one another, we're actually doing and being the community that God created us to be. And so that little puff of encouragement, that little blast that you offer into someone else's life can make all the difference in the world, and you just never know the difference it's going to make. And so when Paul gets to these next line items, he begins talking about what good encouragers are. And so if you have your worship flyer, you can see what we're going to talk about. Let me break it down for you real quick. And the first one I want you to see is that if you are a real encourager, if you're going to really be a good encourager, you have to be genuine. You have to be genuine. Look at verse 9. It says, don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what's wrong and stand on the side of good. In other words, let your love be without hypocrisy. In other words, really love somebody. Don't just act like you love them. You've met people that you know they act like they like you, but they don't really like you. We all have those people in our orbit sometimes that do that, and we just go, ugh. And I'm not sure why they do it, because see, we've already figured it out, right? When someone's being syrupy sweet to you, you already know they don't like you. They don't really mean it. And so here, I'm going to tell you, they already figured you out. You've been exposed. They know it. You know it. So quit doing it. In other words, learn to really genuinely love. And you say, well, you know, some people are hard to love. I know. Isn't that the beauty of the Bible? God says love your enemies. Because love is and has always been a choice. And you say, well, I can't love that person. Yes, you can. Because you choose to love. But you have to be genuine and you have to make that choice to do it. Does it mean that when you love someone else, you love everything they do? No, that's not what the Bible says. Does it mean you agree with everything they do? Of course not. Does it mean that you're always going to be happy with someone else? Happy is a feeling. Love is a choice. So you're not always going to be happy. But you get to choose whether or not you're going to love. And a good encourager will be genuine in their love. It will be real, and that's a love that you draw from the love of Christ. Because that's a love that lasts and really cares. Mamie Adams was her name. She lived in a small town in the Midwest, and she went to the same post office in her town because the post office employees there were friendly. One Christmas, she did what many of us have done, run into the post office to do something. And she went specifically to buy stamps, but the lines were particularly long. And so as the line was kind of coming out the door, and she was standing in the line, and she was standing there, someone came up to her and said, can I help you do anything? And she said, well, I'm just going to wait in line. I have to buy some stamps. Said, oh, Miss Mamie, you don't have to wait in this line to buy stamps, because now we have a new automated postage machine, and you can walk right over there with your debit card or cash, and you can get your stamps, and you don't have to wait in this line. And she said, no, I don't want to do that. And they said, why not? You don't have to be afraid. I'll show you how to use the machine. No, I don't want you to do that. They said, well, why don't you want to use the machine? She says, because that machine won't ask me about my arthritis. And the difference was, it's worth the wait because the person on the other side of the counter is going to care about her arthritis and care about her and encourage her and let her move on. See, we think that being fast is better. And we think being efficient is better. And I want you to understand that sometimes encouragement doesn't meet your standard of efficiency because it takes time and it takes effort and you have to be genuine. Real encouragers, and if you're going to be an encourager, you're going to have to be genuine and you're going to have to learn to love. And you love someone, it's worth the wait. The second thing that will happen if you're an encourager is you'll also be assertive. You'll also be assertive. Look at verse 13. When God's children are in need, you be the one to help them out. In other words, when you see a need, step up and do something. Encouragers, people who are serious about being encouragers, take the initiative. You wonder why many people are not always encouraged? Because everybody thinks that somebody else is doing it. We see a need, but we think that someone's already on that. We see something that needs to be done, but we're assuming that someone else is already after that. We see something that we think, oh, it'd be great if someone did that. I'm sure someone's already doing that. Now, I don't know if you have those thoughts that run through your head, but they run through mine. We see something, but our assumption is that somebody's on that. Somebody's taking care of that. Somebody's doing that. And as a result, nobody's doing it. Because everyone else is assuming the same thing that you are, and everyone's assuming that something's getting done. we don't want to overdo, because we've all convinced ourselves that to overdo encouragement is bad. Let me let you in on something. To overdo encouragement is not bad. And if you've ever really needed encouragement, you know that it can't be overdone. And so that's godly advice. You can't overdo encouragement. If you feel compelled to encourage and you see the need, be assertive and take the initiative and step up and do something. The Bible says it this way: when God's children are in need, you be the one to help them out. Very often, we fall back and we default into this mode that says, somebody needs to do something. That somebody should be you. And when we will take that initiative and we discover that maybe someone is doing something, that's great. Then we've just added on and we've added an extra blessing and we move on with our life. But we may discover as we step in that nothing is being done. We may discover there's a whole world of opportunity for us to step in and do more than we ever thought. But when you get serious about encouraging others and building others up, you become assertive in that and you take the initiative. The third thing that you begin to see is also you become selfless. Verse 14 and 15. If someone mistreats you because you're a Christian, don't curse him. Pray that God will bless him. When others are happy, be happy with them. If they're sad, share their sorrow. In other words, bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Good encouragers are willing to give themselves away to others, because their concern is about the needs of others, not themselves. And so please hear me carefully. Being a good encourager will take something out of you, because to do it well, you have to give of yourself. That's why a lot of people don't ever step up and become the encouragers that they need to be, because they can't get out of their own way. We can't get out of our own way because we're so consumed with ourselves and our thoughts and our wants and our feelings and what we think that we can't allow anybody else's needs to get on our radar to step up and do something, because it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you effort. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you resources. It's going to cost you some kind of capital. It's going to cost you something in relationship. It will cost you to encourage others. And that's okay. Because as you give of yourself, we discovered this the first week, go back to the first week of this series, we comfort and come alongside and encourage others as God comes alongside of us. And as the Bible told us, and he comes alongside of us and does that so that we can come alongside of others and do the same for them. And in doing so, we become that person that becomes an outgrowth of the kingdom of God and his love in our life flowing through us. But it does cost you something. And if you can't get out of your own way, if you can't get to the point where you're not making life all about you, then you'll never be the encourager you need to be. And you know what else? You'll never get the encouragement that you need, because you've allowed yourself to become first in your life. When you put Jesus first in your life, what begins to happen is you realign your priorities and you begin to see the world differently, and you begin to see the opportunities that he gives for you to make an impact in the world around you. A good encourager is selfless. And last, a good encourager is also humble. A good encourager is humble. Verse 16, work happily together. Don't try to act big. Don't try to get into the good graces of important people, but enjoy the company of ordinary folks. And don't think you know it all. I wish that part wasn't in the Bible, right? Be humble. A lot of times, people will only try to encourage others at their level. You ever find yourself falling in that trap? Well, I'll encourage this person. They're kind of my equal. Yeah, we're kind of alike, so I'll encourage them because they get me. I get them. The Bible talks about the fact that we need to be humble and remember who we are. Now, humble, and we've defined this for you before, humble and being humble is just remembering who you are in relationship to God. He's everything, and you're not. And anything you are is because of Him. And if you can remember that, then you stay humble. And life doesn't become about you. But when you are humble, then also you begin looking for those opportunities and you recognize that we are called and compelled to be encouragers that will change the world around us on a daily basis. And God gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to do so. And when we do, we discover that He blesses us in ways that we never, ever dreamed possible. Those four things are the things that will help us be successful as we encourage each other. It was in the 60s when this story happened. It was in a classroom. Actually, it started in the 50s. And one day, the teacher asked her students to list the names of the other students in the room on two sheets of paper and leave some blank space in between each name. And then, as the class sat there with the entire roster of students in front of them, she told them to think of the nicest thing they could say about each of their classmates and write it down. It took the remainder of the class period, but she gave them plenty of time to do it. And when they finished her assignments, she had them turn in the papers that they had done. And then she took them home. As the weekend unfolded on that Saturday, the teacher then took a piece of paper and wrote the name of each student on top of the paper and then went back through the list that had been turned in and basically wrote down everything that their fellow students had said about them all on one sheet. On the following Monday, she gave each student that came back to class the list with their name on them, with all of the good things that their classmates had said about them, and watched as the students read and looked at this list of positive, encouraging things that their fellow classmates had said. As they read the list, they did exactly what you would think. It wasn't long and the entire class was smiling. Really, she heard one whisper, "I never knew that I meant that to anybody." And someone else said, I never knew someone liked me that much. And it was just a good day. And the teacher felt like that she had done a good job. And no one ever mentioned those papers in class again. She, as a teacher, never knew if they discussed them after class, ever shared them with her parents. It didn't matter. It had accomplished its purpose. She had set out to have students take a moment to encourage one another in a way that would make an impact, that would remind them the power of encouragement. Years later, one of the students was killed in the Vietnam War. And so, as people often do, people came for the funeral, and this particular student had been a special student, a small town. The church that day was packed with his friends, and one by one, those who loved him took a last walk by the coffin, as often happens at funeral in those settings. The teacher was there that day as well to say goodbye to the student. And as she came by the coffin, there was a soldier that was there and was watching her and said, "Were you Mark's math teacher?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, "I thought you might be. Mark talked about you a lot." And she thought that was odd. Someone she had never met, but she didn't think that much about it. But that afternoon, after the funeral, she went to the home and went to a luncheon there. Mark's mother and father were there, and they were excited that the teacher had come. And the dad said, "I want to show you something," father said. And he took a wallet out of his pocket. "This was found on Mark when he was killed. We thought you might recognize it." And opening the billfold, he carefully removed two worn pieces of notebook paper that had been taped together many times, folded and refolded many, many times. And the teacher knew right away that the paper that she was looking at were the ones where she had listed all of the good things that Mark's classmates had said about him on that day so many years ago. Mark's mom said, "Thank you so much for doing that day in class." Mark treasured that all of his life. Mark's former classmates that were there that day began to gather around. Charlie smiled rather sheepishly and said, "I still have my list. It's in my top drawer at my desk at home." Chuck's wife said, "Chuck asked me to put his list in our wedding album." I have mine too, Marilyn said. It's in my diary. And then Vicky, another classmate, reached into her pocketbook, took out her wallet, and showed her the worn and frazzled list to the group. I carry this with me at all times. And she said, I have a feeling we all saved our list. And it was then, when she finally got to her car, that the teacher sat down and cried, realizing how important it is to make sure that we encourage those when you have the opportunity, and how a little bit of encouragement goes a long way and can last a lifetime. See, it's not a novel idea to encourage. It's a biblical idea. It's not something that's silly and superficial. It's something that matters, and it's something that strikes at the core of what we need. It becomes part of who we are if we have the heart that beats like Jesus, that we will want to do that in the lives of others. And it also is what sets us apart as family and allows us to have the strength to be able to face each day, because we know we're never alone. We know he's with us, but you also know that you get an incredible family that comes along with that. And that family makes all the difference. And so what I'm going to do today for our Now What is do something that may not be quite the usual Now What, but I'm going to give you 10 suggestions for encouragement. They're not commandments. I would not be that presumptuous. That's been done once, and that's good enough. We'll let those stand. These would simply be suggestions. They are not necessarily in any particular order, but they are very practical, and they will help you as you are striving to be this person that's going to make an impact in the world around you. As you try to reach out into the community that you find yourself in each day, how is it that you're going to make an impact? These are some things that will help you. You do one of them, you'll be better. Do two of them, you'll be awesome. Do three, you'll be rocking it. Do four, hey, you can do it. The first one is simply this. And these are going to be so simple. You're going to go, really? This is the Now What? Yes. This is the Now What. It's that practical. Number one, speak to people. What a novel idea. There's nothing as nice as a cheerful greeting. Speak to someone. Now, again, for some of us, not as easy, because some of us, we've got communication down to skill. We go, what the? And that says a lot. What it says is you have a crick in your neck, and you can't, or you're having a spasm. Speak to people. Hello. Practice with me.
Hello.
How you doing? Good, good. Speak to people. Don't be afraid to speak to people. Second of all, smile at people. Act like you like speaking to people. It takes a lot less muscles to smile than it does to frown, yet some of us work real hard at this frowning thing. Smile. Turn that frown upside down. And smile at people. You would be amazed how far you can get with a smile. The third thing, call people by name. One of the sweetest sounds to many people is hearing their own name. Now, that's not the sound that kids like to hear when they're in trouble. But for the most part, people like to hear their name. Really, their name. Or the nickname that they go by. Not the one you give them, but the nickname that they go by. And calling them by name lets you connect with them and let them know that you know who they are, and that who you are matters. Fourth, be friendly and helpful. Friendly and helpful. If you want to have a friend, be a friend. And don't worry about how they respond back. There's a reward in just doing the right thing for the right reason and being a friend to others. There's a gift in it. And we've already discovered along the way that God will bless it. We don't want to go back down that road. But be friendly, be helpful. Five, be cordial. Be cordial. Speak kind. Say kind words. I know it goes without saying, but kindness is kind of the low bar of human existence. Right? You can be kind. Even if you have to say something that's not necessarily great, you can be kind about it. Be kind. Be willing not to miss out on the opportunity of making sure that people know that they're appreciated and that you don't mind interacting with them. Be kind. Be cordial. Six, be genuinely interested in people. You know, you can learn to like something about everyone, even if it's learning what you don't like about them. But you have to take the time to do it. And you never know what you might find out. Because people are fascinating when you get to know them and you take the time to get to know them. Have you ever heard somebody, got a glimpse of somebody's background, go, well, I never knew that about them. That's crazy. That's wild. Sure, there's always something that you can find that will help you to create some common ground and be interested in them, and you can find that, and it goes a long way. But to find that, you have to be interested. Seven, be generous with praise, cautious with criticism. I've told you before, it does not take a spiritual gift to be a critic. There's no great talent in being critical. But be generous with praise. Not false praise, but be generous with praise. Look for the good. Find a way to praise them. Even when you're not going to like everything they do, find that thing and be generous with that. And figure out in your life whether you're quick to criticize or quick to praise. Because sometimes you might shock yourself if you took the time to really listen to yourself and find out how critical you sound and how critical you can be. Don't. Stop. Step back. Encourage and praise. Eight, be considerate of the feelings of others. It's always appreciated. And this is where we got back earlier. We talked about being selfless. It's really not about what you want and what you think. It's really about what others think and what you can do to help them. Nine, be thoughtful of the opinion of others. I'll say that again. Be thoughtful of the opinion of others. And very often in the world that we live in, that's something that we don't do very well. Everybody has an opinion, and their opinion matters to them. As a matter of fact, people love their opinions as much as they love anything. Now, their opinion and your opinion may be radically different and could be different than night and day. But please understand, it is possible to disagree without being divisive. And learning to navigate that is an art form. And so, be thoughtful of the opinion of others. It doesn't mean you have to accept it. It doesn't mean you have to believe it. I said be thoughtful of it. Because by being thoughtful of it, at least you're leaving open the opportunity for dialogue and conversation for something that God may be wanting to do later. And that is what it's all about, right? And last but not least, be alert to serve. What counts most is the impact that we can have when we do something and trying to reach out and touch the life of someone else with the love of Christ. And so look for opportunities to serve. How can I serve you? How can I help you? How can I minister to you? What do you need? How can I be of assistance? It is that moment again where we step away from ourselves and decide, what can I do for this person in this moment to make their life, their existence, just a little bit better? And then it's taking the extra moment to make sure that they know that the reason that you do it is because of the love of Christ. Those 10 things, suggestions, instructions, if you will, guidelines, if you will, that will help you move through this pinball machine of life, but using those as the bumpers will keep you on track and scoring the points that you need to encourage the lives and build the lives of others. And when you do, God will do amazing things with that. And you'll discover, as we have talked about time and time again, that God also is just pouring back into you all of those things that you seem to be sharing with others. He encourages you. Let's bow our heads and hearts and pray together. Heavenly Father, we get the chance, the opportunity, to move through this world and impact people's lives in ways that we don't even begin to understand. Sometimes happens in quick passing moments. Other times, it happens and it's much more deliberate. And it seems to be bigger, take more time. But Lord, in all of those, we have the opportunity to be used by you to accomplish something that matters for eternity. Lord, for people who are listening, for people who are watching, for people who are in this room, Lord, all of this means very little if they haven't made the decision to believe, trust, and follow you. If they've never taken that step of faith and decided that they would take you at your word and believe that you love us and believe that you died for our sins and believe that you went to a grave and came back to life to forever take the penalty of death away. Then, Heavenly Father, we don't even know how to begin encouraging. So, Lord, for anybody on the threshold of belief this day, I pray that this would be their day to cross the threshold, that they would quit kicking the tires of faith and they would get in the car and take a ride. And they would make the decision not only to believe but to trust and follow you and allow that journey to carry them on a road that they never could have imagined and never dreamed was possible. For anyone who needs to make that decision, I pray that before they would leave this morning, that they would take a moment and fill out a worship response page and drop it in the giving box, that they would fire us an email, they would give us a call, whatever they would need to do to reach out and let us know that that's the decision that they've made so that we can follow up with them and help them understand what needs to happen next in that journey. Lord, for others in this room, we've made that decision. We believe, we trust, we're trying to follow. And Lord, what we need to do is just become better at this thing called encouragement. And so God, I ask that you would just help us. Help us to take those 10 suggestions that we offered at the end and allow those to become a part of our life, a part of who we are as we relate to others and watch the difference it makes in the world around us. If we could do that, we would be amazed at how you take it and use it in ways that go far beyond anything we imagined, and it creates a whole new world, not just for us, but for the people we meet. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we look forward to seeing you guys on Wednesday evening.